The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Pharisees, with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes question him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts.' You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition." He went on to say, "How well have you set aside the commandment of God in order to uphold your tradition? For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever curses father or mother shall die.' Yet you say, 'If someone says to father or mother, any support you might have had from me is korban, that is, dedicated to God,' you allow him to do nothing more for his father or mother. You nullify the word of God in favor of your tradition that you have handed on, and you do many such things." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, in recent weeks, many people have asked me questions about the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother, all independently of one another. So I thought we'd do something a little bit different here this morning, seeing as how Jesus himself raises the issue here in the gospel. Let's talk about the meaning of this commandment, since it's on so many people's minds. Question: honor your father and your mother. What does that mean? And the answer is that it means different things depending on your state of life. But we can begin by looking at the word honor, because that's what's commanded. The Hebrew word honor literally means weight. And when we honor our father and our mother, it's a heavy, substantive, weighty reality. This is what it means. We honor the fact that God himself used this mother and father in order to give you the gift of existence. Every time a human soul is conceived, the entire universe is changed forever, because something's brought into existence that never existed before and will exist forever. The ongoing act of creation. Why do we honor our father and our mother? Primarily, we honor God's creative action, and he used them. Just as a parallel case, there is a tradition actually for honoring the hands of the priest. Maybe you've heard of this before. But why would you honor the hands of the priest? Because that's the hand that gives you the Eucharist. It's God's instrument. In a similar sense, the honor your father and your mother, we honor what God himself has given us through them. Now, ideally, your parents have given you more than just existence. Ideally, they've given you love, and they've given you the faith, and they've given you good example. But even if those things are lacking, please remember what the word honor means. This question is raised especially by adult children who have a strained relationship with their parents, and they want to know what this commandment means. Well, understand, God does not command an emotion. God does not command a feeling. He doesn't ask you to manufacture warm feelings for your parents. Hopefully they're there, but you can't gin them up out of nothing if they're not. And perhaps the clearest example of this would be, like, just imagine this. Imagine that today someone comes knocking at your door and introduces you to two people you've never laid eyes on before in your life, but these two people have genetic, biological proof that they, in fact, are your real mother and father. And even without even knowing their names, you would immediately have a sense of honor for the fact that they were God's instruments in giving you life. That's something that's commanded of all of us. But to children living at home, something more is commanded, and that is obedience to your mother and father. Jesus himself was obedient to Mary and Joseph, and holy as Mary and Joseph were, and perfect as parents as they possibly could ever be, Jesus himself was God and was still obedient to them, to teach us a really important lesson, namely, God himself has given authority to parents over their children. Now, just as an aside, no one can take that away. No government can take that away. If parents decide that government-run school is indoctrinating their children in ways they cannot tolerate, it is within their rights to take their child out of that school and teach them themselves, or maybe put them in a parish school. But that's not a right that comes to us from the government. That's a right that comes to us from the hand of God, and nobody can take it away. Now, in our own time, sadly, we must speak of the limits of obedience. Even just a few years ago, I would never have spoken of the limits of obedience. I would have said Jesus is obedient even unto death, death on a cross. However, you know, times have changed. So I have to speak of the limits of obedience. And the limits of obedience are simple. No authority can ever command you to sin. If they do, they've overstepped their authority. And it's within your right to discern if that authority has in fact commanded you to commit a sin. Among children living at home, the most common sin is the sin of missing Mass on Sunday. It's rampant all across our grade schools and religious education programs, and they send their kids to the parish grade school, but they don't take them to Mass on Sunday. In such a circumstance, a child has a responsibility to try to get to Mass. The first stage of that responsibility is to remind their parents to take them to Mass. And if their parents won't take them, they would be well within their rights to call a friend. Maybe they've got a friend who's going to Mass. Can you swing by the house and pick me up? That authority, that obedience, ends with adulthood. I would even go so far as to say that if adult children are living in their parents' home, the parent has every right to say, "My roof, my rules," okay? But it's different things to different people in their state of life. Honor your father and your mother is not dependent on the merits of the father and the mother. There are plenty of saints who had bad parents. Saint Camillus, for example, or Saint Josephine Bakita. There are many. But the honor that we show to our father and our mother is honor that we show to God himself and leads us to Christ every time. I would say this, though, as a blanket statement that you can say without exception. Never, ever utter a word of insult against your parents. Certainly not to their face and certainly not behind their back. That one is always, always a violation of this commandment. If your parents are deceased, the honor that you would show to your father and to your mother would be to have Mass said for their souls. Jesus says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." The surrender of the heart to God is the heart of worship. So for the grace to honor God and others, especially in our parents, let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Scholastica, pray for us.